And one of James's big concern is that we all have a propensity and a tendency for our communication, for the words out of our mouth, to go toward that which is not honoring to God and not helpful to people. Whether that's dishonesty and deception, prideful boasting, whether that's insults and put-downs or criticisms, unkind, unmerciful words, whatever the case may be, we tend to go in that direction. So he wants to realign us so that we consider what we're saying and make sure it lines up with what is a fitting for followers of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Verse by Verse, the teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel in Palm City, Florida. We're currently in the book of James, so open up your Bibles and study with us as we go through God's Word together.
Think of a hypodermic needle. With a hypodermic needle, indeed, I know for some of you, like, the needles look huge, but really, it's a pretty small little thing with a little bit of something inside the needle. And it can do great good. It can bring healing medicine, but it can also do great harm if it's filled with cyanide. It can be poisonous. It's a tiny needle that either heals or hurts depending on what is coming out of it. Tiny tongue. Whatever's coming out of it is hurting or helping. Don't discount this issue. Don't sit there and kind of daydream today, because what we do is like, well, this is not a big issue with me. He's already said, we all stumble in many ways. And if you think you got it licked, that you're not stumbling in your speech, you probably need to listen more than anybody else, because we all stumble in our speech. There's no exceptions to that rule. Not all of us murder people. Praise God for that. Not everybody's out there committing idolatry. Not everybody's is having an affair or involved in some kind of sexual perversity. But we're all stumbling in this area. So this is something for all of us to listen to. Notice verse 5. He says this. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Now, I used to misread this verse and think, oh, he's talking about boasting. That's sinful. We shouldn't do that. That's all true. But that's not the point here. What he's saying is that even though the tongue is a small thing, it can boast of doing great things. In other words, it causes either great help or great hurt. It's like dynamite. Dynamite, a small stick of dynamite, can uncover a buried treasure. Or it can bring down a building on top of people. It is a small thing that can boast of great things, great hurt, great harm. And that's one of his main issues we're going to see repeatedly, and we'll see it in other places also, that your words, yes, they can hurt people tremendously, but they can also help people tremendously. And that's the direction I hope we will all choose. We're told in Proverbs 18, verse 21, these words, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I want to clarify something here. This is a verse that some people have kind of misunderstood, I believe, because they basically have used it in the idea that you create your own reality. That if you say you are feeling sick, you're going to get sick. If you say that you're going to get a raise, you're going to get a raise. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about creating your own reality by making things happen by positive confession. That's not what he's talking about. What he is talking about is this. You can destroy somebody with your words, or you can bring great healing to them and life to them with your words. Death, destruction, discouragement, despair, because of something you said in somebody's life, or life, healing, hope, encouragement, and help, all from these words. And I know I have experienced that, and I trust that you have experienced that. I know as a pastor that was particularly early on, I was just scared to death. I'd have people calling me, and there's just these big issues. My child just died. My spouse wants a divorce. I didn't even see it coming. I just got told by the doctor I have a terminal disease. And of course, as I'm hearing this news, I'm praying on the inside, Lord, help me. I don't know what to say to these people. And I would just share a few scriptures with them. I would pray with them. I give them a word of encouragement. And it is astounding, astounding, how that would change the entire outlook. Not because of something, some magical words. I'm just sharing God's word with them. And the few little words would bring life and healing and help and hope. But we also know our words can bring death, can cause friction in relationships. Some of you are already dealing with that. Husbands and wives who just are not saying the right things and causing all kinds of turmoil because they just didn't use their tongues wisely. Can cause problems at your workplace. Churches end up split sometimes over something somebody said. Friendships are lost. Death. In fact, it is very likely that some of you, maybe all of you, can remember something that somebody said to you when you were younger, maybe a child. And even though it may be decades later, you still carry that with you. It's still something that you remember deep in your heart. That's the power of words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. One of my favorite stories, and this one I've told in sermons, not recently, but I have told before if it sounds familiar to you. But it's a true story, and I think it correlates and fits in with what we're talking about today. It's the story of Mary Ann Byrd. You may never have heard of her. She's not particularly famous. But Mary Ann Byrd wrote a memoir of her life sometime back. We're going back several decades here. She wrote a memoir of her life, and she talked about how she was born, and she was physically deformed. She had a cleft palate. She had crooked nose. She had garbled speech and several other issues that made her stand out. She talks about how every day she despised going to school because of the harsh words the kids would say to her, how she really despised herself and the way she looked and everything about her. And she talks about this in her memoir, and she talks about how one day everything changed in her life. And she tells the story of some words that changed her life. She talks about how one day she was in class, fourth or fifth grade, teacher was giving a hearing test. And back in those days, they gave a hearing test by simply calling each child up, whispering something in their ear, and then having them repeat it. The sky is blue. The birds are singing. And then Mary Ann's turn came up. Her teacher was named Miss Leonard. Her teacher whispered in her ear the words that would change her life forever. What words did she whisper in her ear? I wish you were my child. I wish you were my child. And the fact that she could share with her just those five or six encouraging words changed Mary Ann's life. So much so that now she's in her 40s and 50s, she's writing a book about it, going all the way back to elementary school. See, words are powerful things. But I got news for you. The same way that words can bring life to somebody, they can bring death to somebody. Be very, very careful. It is a small member, as verse 5 says, but it boasts of great things. How great a forest! How big a problem comes from such a small fire. One wrong word said at the wrong time in the wrong way can really, really hurt somebody. So we need to be very, very careful. Now it goes on to say in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Now, don't miss the how he's loading up phrase after phrase to show us just how messed up our communication is. It is on fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. It stains the whole body. It sets on fire the entire course of life. And it itself is set on fire by hell. He does not have a very positive view of most of our conversations. He's basically telling us this, and this is something we need to know. You and I, particularly in our speech, have a propensity, a very strong propensity toward evil. That's why he tells us that tongue, these words that come out of your mouth, they're a world on fire. They stain the whole body. They're set on fire by hell. Our words destroy families, churches, workplaces, friendships, relationships. They bring people's down, their reputation. They destroy people's reputations, their spirit. It is not something for you and I to take lightly. We need to leave this place not saying, oh, I like that message or I didn't like that message, but saying, Lord, help me to take verse 6 seriously and understand that I, yes, me, I have a propensity to misuse my tongue, my communication, so that you'll be more careful. That's the whole point. By telling us this, it's not to condemn us. It's just to say, listen, you need to understand. If you're not careful, if you just kind of let your tongue go in neutral and see which way it goes, it's not going to go toward what is good. It's going to go toward gossip and insults and put-downs and criticisms and lies and deceptions and pride and boasting. When I was younger, when I was a teenager, I did something really stupid. I had a car, and the brakes barely worked in this car. Now, of course, as an adult, you would stop driving, you'd get a tow truck, you'd get it repaired, but I was a stupid teenager. So every day, this car that will barely stop, I mean, you had to press it all the way down and give it about 200-300 feet, and it would stop. And I kept driving this car. But even as a teenager, being as stupid as I was as a teenager, I would always say to myself, my car has a propensity to not stop, and I could hurt somebody. Therefore, I need to give myself more space between other cars, and I need to drive slower. Well, think of it. What, you know, and I understand the better thing would have been to do to get the car repaired. But here's the illustration. Here's the point. Your tongue has a tendency not to stop when it should stop. Amen? And it can crash and hurt somebody else or hurt you in the process. And we all know, by the way, if you want proof that our tongues are not under our control, just look at all the stupid things that politicians, celebrities, and people say all the time. They're doing good, and they just let it rip, and then problems come. He's telling us, listen, your tongue has a propensity for evil. It's part of our flesh. You need to recognize it's a small member of your body, but it has a strong, strong pull toward what is sinful, wicked, and hurtful. Therefore, you need to be even more careful, more cautious than you normally would. Because what happens is we let stuff come out and then we try to correct it afterwards. Careless words. Things that we never really meant to say. I've dealt with this in marital counseling. People say stuff even in counseling. And then they'll say something like, well, I didn't really mean that. Don't take it so seriously. Once you said it, it's out there. That's the thing you got to understand. You said it. I'm glad you're going to apologize, but it's out there. So saying I didn't mean it doesn't really solve it. The better thing is not to say it. Other people will say, you know, after they explode and they let all this vitriol come out of their mouth, then they'll say, well, you know what, that's just me. I get like that when I'm angry. Just pay no attention to it. People can't do that. People just can't unhear something. It's there. Therefore, we need to bring it under control. The gossip, the strife, the division, the demeaning words, the discouragement, the deception, the words that cause despair and division. And Proverbs 12, verse 18 focuses on this same idea, which says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Not everybody's words. Whose words pierce? Whose words hurt other people? The reckless. Those who don't take into consideration that they have a dangerous instrument inside their mouth that can do more damage than sometimes in other things. Think of it this way. Some of you are in gun enthusiasts. No problem with that. I have no problem with somebody being a gun enthusiast. I was a police officer for a while. I don't have no guns now too much, but I used to, and I understand guns. I have no problem with guns, except if you handle it recklessly. If you go around and you think you're from the Wild West and you start spinning your gun around or trying to quick draw, got a problem. If you just wave it around like no big deal, if you just leave it laying around for a kid to pick up, we have a problem. Well, what he's talking about here is reckless words. You would be so upset if somebody was reckless with a gun, you should be just as upset if they're reckless in their speech. Because speech destroys people. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. You have a loaded tongue, if you can't remember any other ways. And if you don't handle it carefully, it will hurt somebody else. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. We're told in Proverbs 15, verse 4, that the soothing tongue is a tree of life. As I mentioned to you earlier, it's astounding how you can change the somebody's day and sometimes somebody's life just with a little word of encouragement. Just letting them know, just saying, I appreciate what you do. I know you're going through a hard time, but I'm praying for you. God is for you in this. It seems so simple, but the soothing tongue is what? It is a tree of life. It brings life to people. It's an astounding spiritual gift just to be able to bring a word of encouragement to somebody. But there is the opposite side of that. The perverse tongue, what does it do? It crushes the spirit. It brings people to the point of despair. He goes on to say in James 3, verse 7 and 8, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. What a great illustration, because you think about it. Man has had just remarkable ability to dictate and control wildlife in a way that, based on strength alone, we shouldn't be able to do. We get elephants, several ton elephants, to do what we want them to do in a circus. You get cobras, poisonous as they are. People in other countries get them to do what they want them to do. People get killer whales, these huge killer whales at SeaWorld, to do what they want them to do. So we can control and direct and bring under domination and direct the actions of these wild animals, but we can't bring under control our tongues. Our tongues are untamable. So while I encourage you to make a decision as you leave today to use your words wisely, carefully, lovingly, and righteously, honestly, I encourage that. Make that decision. I also want you to recognize that is not a commitment you can keep outside of the supernatural intervention of God. That because, what does it say here? No human being can tame the tongue, can get it to do what it wants to do. I'm sure all of us have said, I'm never going to say anything like that again. I'm never going to let something like that happen again. All of us have found ourselves repenting of stuff and say, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I lied. I can't believe I lost my temper and said these words. Why? Because we have an untamable tongue. And it's not just what we say. See, there's a heart issue. It's not just a will issue. It isn't just a matter of you making a decision, I'll never do that again. Because as Jesus told us in Luke, notice this, in Luke 6, verse 45, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. See, the reason we say the things that we do, and none of us want to really acknowledge this, but the reason some things come out of our mouth that are not Christ-like, and are mean and insulting or deceptive or prideful, the reason those things come out of our mouth on occasion is because somewhere in our hearts, those things are there. And as long as those things are in our hearts, they're going to make their way up out of our mouths. And the things we say, they're going to come to be revealed. Let me give you an illustration. If you have rusty water coming out of your sink, you can change the faucet, but that's not going to solve the problem. Because the problem isn't the faucet that the water comes out of. The problem is the well that goes deeper. So that's the same thing with us. So every day I want to pray, Lord, change my heart. Give me a heart that's full of righteousness, kindness, love, understanding, mercy, gentleness, humility, so that what comes out of my mouth reflects that. And outside of that, I have no hope of changing it because no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. Now again, he's laying it on the line here. He's not just saying the tongue is evil. What kind of evil is it? Restless. It's always wanting to get to go in the wrong direction. It's not just got poison in it. It is full of deadly poison. He's repeating himself, I know, but he's repeating himself so that you and I take this issue seriously, because tendency is to not take it seriously. You see, as Christians in America, we have our big sins and we focus on those. Don't murder. Be sexually pure. Don't commit idolatry. Don't be involved in occult activity. Those are the biggies. And we underestimate the damage and the evil that's done through things like gossip, what we might call white lies, through a snide remark because we were arguing with somebody, those kind of things, through insults about our coworkers or putting them down. Those kind of things are what he's describing as a restless evil, full of deadly, destructive poison. He's repeating these warnings And it is a repetitive message. I understand that. But he's repeating it so that we don't leave here thinking, I didn't really need to hear that. That's not my struggle. That's not my issue. Everyone stumbles in this. This is your issue. You may not always see it. Maybe you ask your spouse, they might see it. But it is your issue because it's everybody's issue. It is a deadly, restless evil. And then he concludes in verses 9 through 12 with these words. With it, our tongues, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. He wants us to understand how it just doesn't fit that you got people who are Christians, who follow Jesus, who go out of their way, like we did this morning, to acknowledge and praise God in song with our lips. And that's a good thing. That at the same time as we bless, as he says here, our Lord and Father, coming out of the same mouth that this morning was saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, the same mouth might this afternoon be putting somebody down or insulting somebody or hurting somebody with their words. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people. And the reason that's so, I can never say this word, but incongruous, I still didn't say it right, but you know what I mean. The reason it doesn't fit together is because people are made in the likeness of God. Now, I want to be very clear here. Not everyone is a child of God. That's a relationship with God based on Jesus Christ. You can only become God's child, you can see this in John 1, through Jesus Christ. But everyone is created in the likeness of God. That goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Therefore, to insult somebody else, in a sense, is to insult what represents God, because people represent God. And that's why the Bible tells us in other places, you can't claim to love God and not love your neighbor. People are made in the image of God. Think of it this way. Most of you, maybe not all of you, but many of you would be quite upset to see somebody burn an American flag or stomp on it. You'd be upset because you say, that represents my country. And if you insult my flag, you're insulting my country, which means you're insulting me. Well, God says, all those people out there, including people from the other political party, people on Facebook you disagree with, people who are other religions or no religions, I'm not saying any of that's right, but I'm telling you this, those people are made in the likeness of God, and if you insult them, you might as well insult God, because he takes it personally. That, if you have that in your mind, it will change what comes out of your mouth. Now think of it this way. Let's say you meet somebody, and for whatever reason, you say, man, you're depending on if it's male or female, you're beautiful, you're attractive, or you're good looking. And then you see a photo of that person up on the wall. You say, man, that's the ugliest person I ever saw in my life. Think of how they're going to feel about that, because you just praised them, but you've insulted the likeness of them. We are made in the likeness of God, not the physical likeness of God, but we represent God. Therefore, all people do. Therefore, to put people down is to put God down, even if you don't think of it that way. And it really doesn't fit with those who claim to follow Jesus Christ, because you don't see that from Jesus. Oh, you speak the truth, but you speak the truth how? In love, in humility. I'm not saying we can never say anything that's true that might get somebody upset. We sometimes have to say stuff that's true that upsets people, but it should be spoken in humility, should be spoken in love, it should be spoken in gentleness. It should be spoken with the intent of helping that person, not insulting or hurting that person. But for a Christian to have these kinds of things coming out of their mouth at their workplace or in their home or on the roadways doesn't make sense. It's like getting salt water out of a freshwater well or getting an olive of a fig tree. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, think of it this way. You go into a health food store And there's the bean sprouts and the protein powders and the vitamins. And over in the corner, there's a McDonald's. Doesn't that seem like that doesn't make sense? Because you get all this healthy stuff, and then you got the quarter pounder with cheese and the fries and the shake. I'm already getting hungry. But you're thinking that's inconsistent. And that's what God is saying here. It's not that we're genuinely Christians, but there's something very inconsistent about praising God and putting down people. And it just should not be. We need to be consistently helpful, honest, loving, merciful, gentle in our speech. Not 80% of the time, but consistently. None of us would want to take a medicine that healed you totally 80% of the time, but killed you 20% of the time. I'm not taking that medicine, because you just don't know. And that's what he's saying with our speech. It's good. I mean, it's not okay that 80% of it is uplifting and good and 20% of it is not. As he says here, let me find the phrase again. Well, I don't see the phrase, but in the King James, I'm going back to my old days, but King James, it says, these things should not be. It just shouldn't be. So as we bring this to a conclusion, it is a little shorter today, but I didn't want to go to a brand new section. That starts next week where we're going to be dealing with conflict. But I just want to remind you, this little thing we have in our mouth or what we're typing on our keyboards or on our phones, be very careful. Because it has a propensity toward evil, but it doesn't have to be that way. With God's grace and God's empowerment, the Holy Spirit within us, we can use our words to build up, to heal. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. It is the perverse tongue, the twisted tongue, that brings destruction. My hope for myself and for you is that we will have that soothing, helpful tongue. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's bring life to people, help to others, and honor to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Verse by Verse, a ministry of Calvary Chapel in Palm City, Florida. For more information about the church or for full media archives, visit 772church.com. We'd love to see you on a Sunday morning here in Palm City at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Also, follow along with us on social media for a daily video morning devotion and much more. Again, that's 772church.com.